November 30, 2020, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Are too high for you to stay home.
Well, for Pedro Show, happy Monday, last day of November. God, it went. That's okay. That's the way things are. Start off the show with Bessie's Blues, John Coltrane. It sounded like they just came in on that one. Mr. Rudy Van Gelder just hit record. And then Throw the Goat with Too High to Stay Home from their new record. And, Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still quit quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because of those software engineers of Estonia with their great Skype invention. I got Brian with me from Throw the Goat.
How you doing? How's it going, man?
Well, I'm glad to have you aboard, brother.
Yeah.
Good record, man. This is your third album?
I think fourth full length.
Okay, fourth album. But first, like a power troika, right? You're the singer man?
Yeah. I'm the new singer man.
That's okay. It's great. I really like what you guys did. And, but let's journey back
okay.
through your music travel through the music universe. See, hear those sizzles and shit you cook in bacon?
I hear little sizzles.
Okay, it's okay. Anyway, please relate to us your earliest musical recollection. Remember, it's a Wife from Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah, of course. So my dad is a bass player.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Respect.
So he graduated in 72, and then I was born in 82. So he still had had high school friends and stuff, people that he was in bands with back in the day that would come over to the house and stuff when I was a kid, and they'd get together and jam, or they'd be, you know, playing the old teen center that they used to go to for like a reunion thing, and you know, my dad and all of his friends, basically my aunts and uncles. Both my parents went to high school together, so it was one big group. So I was just surrounded by it all the time. It would be pretty difficult for me to not grow up to be a musician myself. Like, even when I was a kid, my imaginary friends were all in a band together, so it was natural.
And where was this?
I was born in Seattle, but I grew up in Southern California, like around Montclair, Ontario, Pomona area.
Dairy. In the old days, it was dairy country.
Yeah, orange groves and right. And cows.
Right. People, now it's got Foothill Freeway and, yeah. And,
oh, yeah.
All the here's the funniest thing. Claremont, Montclair. Mm-hmm. Right next to each other.
Yeah, and one's above the other. Yeah.
Are the people kind of different?
Claremont is definitely more upscale, I would say, than Montclair. I don't know if that's just a north versus south thing or what.
Yeah, I always tripped on that. There was a pad out there. It's been paved over. It's a parking lot for a mall now, but it was called the Green Door.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
It sounds really familiar.
Okay. Yeah, I think 80s is when I was playing there, so.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe a little bit. Or just there's memories or something. I had some funny incidences there and stuff like that. But so your pop bass man, does he got a bass in the pad? Does he have an amp?
He has way too much gear in his house, and he keeps buying more, and my mom's freaking out.
I'm talking about the days when you were a boy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, a fair amount. He had an acoustic 360 with a reverse 18-inch speaker in it. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. My first garage band, I borrowed his G&L, and he was like, all right, you can take it out of the house. Just don't let any of your friends play it.
So you did.
They'll mess it up.
You did jump on the bass then. Okay, okay.
Yeah, because that guitar was taken.
And what age?
So I must have been like, well, so I was playing guitar at home, but the first time that I got invited to play in a garage band, they already had guitar covered, so I borrowed my dad's bass. But I started playing guitar, my first time ever just dicking around with a guitar was probably, I was like six, and then got one.
Was there lessons?
My mom had some lesson books from like the 70s and stuff that she gave to me, but I'm not that kind of guy. I don't
like, you know, Alfred's Guitar Method or Mel Bay or shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I didn't learn theory. I didn't anything. I started out just writing little songs on the E string, and
then
graduated to the E and A, and then was figuring out chords kind of just from where people's hands were in like music videos or rock and roll magazines and stuff.
But you were writing songs right away.
Yeah. Yeah, I jumped right into it.
Oh, because, yeah, me and D. Boone, we were fucking trying to copy songs off records.
Right. There was a little bit of that, but I don't know. Because most of the other kids that played other songs, they were obsessed with getting it, you know, super perfect. And I just like to dick around, you know, so.
Sure. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Let's see. In, I think it was like fourth grade, we were playing that little flute recorder thingy.
Yeah, recorders, yeah.
Which is cool. You know, I learned that Joy to the World is C V A G F E T C.
Yeah, diatonic.
Right.
I want to ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
It was actually two. It was Pearl Jam 10 and Boyz II Men Coolie High Harmony.
Yeah, because you know when you're young, you ain't got a lot of money, so you gotta spend it wise. What about the first gig you went and saw?
First gig? Well, I don't know, because my dad, you know, he and his friends and bands and stuff, they used to play gigs that I went to, so.
Okay, so that was the first ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Family Affair. Yeah.
Right.
That's bitching. I mean,
what
better, you know, thing to get you ready for your turn?
Exactly.
I want to play Hot Truck Whiskey.
Jesus tag teams 5 pints of Stella, picks up a packet of ready salted nuts and crushes them in his palm. Darren yanks a wise man from the nativity display, throws it at Jesus' head. This is a surprise grudge match. Winner leaves with nothing. Jesus snaps a ball cue over his thigh, smashes Mrs. Hill's vase into pieces over the carpet. Darren's fist yawns into him. Blood pours from his mouth. His teeth, a factory line of overtime. His eyes, broken bottles. The dartboard sheds its numbers. The slot machine pisses pound coins. The man painted on the gent's door runs into the ladies. On the telly, wizards stop playing and place bets from the summit of Roy Wood's beard. An audience member at the bar rocks on her stool, burbling the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who shot in West End, Carol Nabi in Spain. The bell rings, the bartender calls time, the landlord phones the police, and the streets fill with the bird song of sirens. The sky throws up a burning bowling ball, dispersing the crowd like skittles. Come on, Jesus cries, screaming at the torn bin bags, the footprints of dog shit smeared across the pavement, the graffiti neighborhood watch sign. I'll take on all of you. It's my birthday, and I'm celebrating.
Sleep that thing, get out of the structure. He can't prison right in there. Every dirty alleyway, there's another one to tell. Have my check, yes, it. West the hand of God, loan all the company, darkest heaven that far.
Welcome to the home of entertainment. Corporations, schemes, stolen trust, and false statements. Be careful who you hang with. Societal association, appropriation. We all African, even the cavemen. Make sure them pats on your backs, don't turn the steps. The bezels on your car, but don't turn cuffs clamp. Take the feds to the draft. Label horse all around by your artist tag. Name, not a shame. Finish performing roses at my feet like Prince Top Kings. The times all this extra shit drains me up my soul battery. Just like cloudy days, rain go away. It's the music that I love, the sweet vibration. Unify the nations, stop the mass production, eating the babies. Be true to self, take care of the ladies. Illusion of food make me not even hungry. The illusion of money make me not even want it. But we delusional, it's power in this music, homes. So watch out, we influence though. Yeah, me like Marvin, what's going on? Look at the city from the parking lot of Cardoza. See the world of ruins, mass shooting, pollution. We drowning in the wet, my down life, freedom instituted. Burn down the new brain.
Thank you. Thank you.
Show, yeah, Hot Truck Whiskey from Throw the Goat, new record. Quack Quack after that from England, around Leeds, I think. Midland? Yes, forget it, Watts. Face Gone Wrong. You know, right. What about dudes who try to adopt somebody else's accent, right? Okay, Chain Gang of Destruction, solo demo from the Hellbillies, Hots for Entertainment, Nappy Napa, great album out of D.C. Harper Roos and St. George from the 60s would workshop a thing that's got the Delia Derbyshire lady, a pioneer in electronic music. It was called the BBC Workshop. I think they ended up owning all that stuff. 38 Angry Tigers after that workshop of rethinking. You know, I think of the Blue Oyster Cult first album, right? Workshop at the Telescopes. It's a great song.
Mm.
Yeah. Get weird. First rock and roll where, like, the lines of the songs don't rhyme. Like, what's right. That about? And then you send in for the words, and they weren't line by line. It was just where the margin ended. It was like on pewter paper with the holes on the side and the green stripe. Yeah, it was a while back. When I first used a pewter, you know, I had to write my program on a deck of cards that you fed into a machine, and you got your answer 4 hours later.
Right.
Because 19 of all the Cal State schools was using this one fucking mainframe.
Oh, yeah, it was all punch card stuff.
Yeah, good old. Yeah, in fact, that's one of the things I was trained on in high school, how to fix those machines. They would take a buttload of current, you know, to work a bass amp just to punch holes. Hear
right.
That sound again. Hear that? It's like you're either scratching the shit out of yourself or...
Nah, maybe yeah, my like, phone is just real or sensitive. Like,
or peeling up these Rolaids or some shit.
Nah.
Boma's pregnant after that. Utmost respect. Okay, I'm not going to let it bother me anymore. I'm just going to let it happen. Boma's pregnant. Utmost respect to the wandering bear. Guided by Voices, brand new. Crash at Lake Placebo. Pineapple Empress with the Empress. South London. Johnny Mark and the Ricks. Because, you know, you did short songs, so I put a bunch of short songs to fit in with you guys.
All right.
I'm partial to short songs. Johnny Mark and the Ricks, which has got Frankie Onwe from the Suburban Lawns a long time ago. Got to play with them, and he passed away from a stroke. And you never know when your number's up, people, so get your music in there. Imagine That's that true. From Dose. Yeah, right, Brian? You don't know. Clown God from History, and finally, Just Skating By. Throw the were you a skater?
I tried, and I broke my arm, and I gave up.
Okay. And especially if you want to work the fucking guitar and bass, you got to need that arm.
Yeah, I figure people who get really good at skateboarding, there has to be some sort of level of masochism in there, because you got to fall down a lot. You got to fuck yourself up to get really good, you know?
It works as a good metaphor for music, though. Like, some dude wants to give up after, you know, take 152. No, no, keep going.
Right.
I was reading this James Jamerson story about recording with Smokey Robinson. He said, you about take 246, the rigor mortis started setting into the groove.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine now they don't even do that, you know? Like, they just fix it in Pro Tools.
Yeah, give me a syllable, and I'll get right. The rest.
Yeah. Have AI fill it out or something.
Okay, back to your journey through music. So,
yeah.
You know the thing after school where you got your buddies in the garage band, basement band, you know, whatever, bedroom band? Did you do that?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times we were meeting, well, it was a toss-up between drummer's house and guitarist's house. And we used to, we had one little, like, Radio Shack microphone that we would tape to the handle of the sledgehammer. And then that would pick up the drums, the guitar, and we would sing into it, too. So it was just one mic for everybody.
Now, did this band have a name?
We went through so many different names, and then we'd find out that it was taken. Like, we wanted to be called Spoon. That was already taken. We wanted to be called Abattoir. That was already taken. There was all sorts of stuff. We never really settled on anything, I don't think.
Was it more of a prac band, or did you do any gigs?
We did, like, house parties and stuff. We keggers. Never actually,
Pedro, we call them keggers.
Right, exactly. We called them kickbacks.
Okay. What was the first kickback you played? What was it like?
It started out, we were in the front yard for some reason. That was really stupid. And, like, our parents had dropped us off, and then they're all just, like, standing there wanting to watch, and we refused to play until they left. Because we were just too embarrassed. And then our friends were, like, into it for a little bit until they realized that we're only playing, like, minute-and-a-half-long songs that don't really have a chorus. And then we don't take requests. And then somebody turned on a hose, and we freaked the fuck out. We thought that they were going to short-circuit us. So we stopped. We played, like, six songs.
So it was kind of a breathe. Notice I don't say the whole word.
Right.
A breathe.
Yeah, yeah. Not a whole lot going on, but we felt accomplished, you know.
You got to break the water, right?
Right.
It's like falling off the skateboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so did you guys end up with the one Radio Shack mic? Did you end up recording?
Yeah, we made little cassette tapes, and we were trying to figure out who we were going to send it to, because, you know, they hear the magic on the tape, and they're just going to love us. And all that. And I don't think we ever actually sent it to anybody. And then the drummer and the guitar player, like, started fighting, and they're, like, each wanting me to start a separate band with one of them, and then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, band politics. That you learned that.
Exactly. And my dad got a kick out of it, because he's like, yep, bass player's always caught in the middle.
Yep, yep. What's his name? Derek Smalls?
Yeah.
Right? One guy's like ice, one's like fire, and I'm lukewarm.
Right. That's my job, is to be like lukewarm Walter.
Right.
He's like smoking a pipe.
Right. Harry Shearer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also got work with Simpson voice, right?
Yeah, he's Principal Skinner and Mr. Burns and all that.
He also had a show for a long time on one of the NPR stations called Lay Show on Sundays.
Right, yeah, he's got a radio background, right?
Yeah, yeah, I used to listen to him. I think it was a half hour or an hour every Sunday. It was right around when Joe Frank, this guy who would read these weird stories, kind of, you know, spoken spiel, kind of mind movies. And, Harry's an incredible cat, and he was great in that role. So this band, yeah. It breaks up, right? So what's your next move musically?
So I ended up, I went to, like, an all-boys Catholic college prep school for 2 years until they kicked me out. So I wasn't, I wasn't really hanging out with too many of my public school friends at the time, and this one group, they tried to get me to join as like a singer. We had like a couple practices, and then the drummer got arrested for like breaking into somebody's house or something to like, I don't know, he was a heroin addict, I guess.
Oh, it happens.
So then a buddy that I was in, the guitarist from the band, the Garage Band, we just started dicking around with computers. And we were using, it was Cool Edit Pro at first, and then that got bought by Adobe, and it became Adobe Audition. So we were getting into sampling and stuff. We were even using, on Windows 95, there was it was called Sound Recorder. And the early version of it, you could record into it, you could reverse, you could add echo, there was all this other stuff. So we used to, like, go through CD collections. A lot of times it was, like, the 80s ZZ Top records, and would steal drum beats from there and, like, build stuff up. Because, you know, we were into, like, everything. You know, hip-hop and grunge and metal and punk and all that stuff. So we were just sort of blending it all together, you know.
But you would record your bass also, right?
Yeah, so we figured out how to, would stick like a little quarter inch to eighth inch adapter on an instrument cable, and then plug that straight into the mic jack of our parents' hard drives and record directly into that. And my dad always thought I was going to blow up a computer. And then, you know, putting like pedals in front of it and stuff too. So we got pretty good at it, and this was like, I don't know, this was mid-90s, so the only people that were really doing that was, like, you know, the ones that could afford, like, the expensive recording equipment and all that. We were kind of doing it very, very budget, and then, you know, making tapes and sending them around and trying to build a band, but we could never find people to play all these parts and stuff. So it was kind of a band that really only existed in digital form.
Like, your form of the Dan.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
But did this project have a name?
It was called Angel Abyss.
Angel Abyss, okay.
Yeah.
And
so there's weird stuff floating out there somewhere. Probably,
yeah,
still,
I was
going to
ask you. Maybe put up a Bandcamp page of this stuff or something. Or a SoundCloud or something.
That's true. It's probably time to dig it back out.
Why I mention that, Brian, is because your early stuff, you can only have that experience once.
Right, that's true.
So it's kind of a trip. Whereas later you do the fucking I Love Lucy reruns.
Little Richie, what the hell? Lucy, jump the shark later.
Lucy. Yeah, I got to explain. Okay, so Angel Abyss is a two-man thing, but it's kind of a record only. You can't really take it to the stage.
Right.
But
we were doing that through high school, and then I ended up, I got a gig as a guitar tech, and I did that for 10 years without, you know, I was writing and stuff in between, but I wasn't really recording or anything. So, yeah, right after high school, I was on the road as a guitar technician.
So you're involved with music, but you're more like a helper man.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, because I graduated in 2000, and the band that I was working with, they were called The Start, one word. They were signed to, I think it was an Interscope subsidiary. I think it was called The Label.
okay.
And so, yeah, started out, you know, tour buses and all this stuff. And then I basically got to be a fly on the wall for the collapse of the music industry. Without having too much skin in the game, you know.
Yeah, and of course my heart is, you know, bleeding pink lemonade. You know, I feel right. So bad for those. All that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tried going to, like, community college after high school to take, like, music classes and shit, and I was like, this just sucks, man. Yeah. Like, why am I stuck behind a desk again? Like, you know, it was lame.
Well,
so,
a drummer friend of mine told me a lot of that music school is about making more teachers.
Right, exactly.
Which
might not be bad. You get your PhD or whatever, and then you just go teach at a conservatory.
Yeah, which might not be bad, but if you're a person who's got to express himself via music, it might be terrible.
Right, just never-ending academia.
Yeah, right. So always been a dangling duality, right? Institutionalized learning versus, like, you know, Johnny Appleseed. Whatever,
yeah.
Jimmy Crap's corn.
Right? Yeah, I didn't even know any theory at all until, like, a couple of years ago, actually.
When it was time to learn it.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up, I got a job very briefly teaching guitar at School of Rock in Temecula because I really needed a gig.
You know who ended up passing away in Temecula?
Who?
Andy Frazier, the bass man for Free.
Oh, really?
That's where his last years were. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. That's why you're on the show, Brian, so you can learn factoids like that.
There you go.
November 30, 2020, Dishwad Pedro Show special guest Brian from Throw the Goat. Hold tight for hour two. November 30, 2020, it's the second hour of the Lock from Pedro's.
My room.
Wofford Pedro Show, second hour. We started off with, I'm going to guess here, but maybe people like you.
Yeah.
It's got very creative spell in here. Throw the Goat. Then Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with the Smile Room. Echo Ishibashi. What, I think 70 miles west of Tokyo in the woods with Jim O'Rourke. Tell the Time. Free Moral Agents has got the late, great Ikey. Only 35, 36, he had a heart attack on the beach in Mexico and just fell over dead. Yeah, like...
Could be worse.
Yeah. No suffering, huh? But right. He was a badass musician, and so that's the shame. Because Free Moral Agents was his own band here, and he was helping the Mars Volta guy, all kinds of cats, Money Martin, Nasheed. And then, yeah... It's over from Throw the Goat. I just thought kind of appropriate, you know. His team is called Sunday House, but yeah. And you never know when your numbers up, people. So I remember the last tour I had about 13 months ago, had a younger guy, maybe 40 years younger on drums. You know what happens. Right. It would never happen when I was his age, but things, younger people are way more open-minded now. But I remember him saying, you know, we got a couple hours to kill. And I looked at him. I didn't have to say a word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, the story of Throw the Goat.
Yeah. So I had the last 3 years of my 10 years as a guitar tech were actually spent in the UK. I lived in a town called York, which you had mentioned Leeds earlier, right. I believe. It's West Yorkshire. Or is it North Yorkshire? People are going to be mad at me. Anyway.
White Rose.
Exactly. The Yorkshire Rose. Every time it gets around, you know, this holiday season, that's when I really start to miss it, because York is just beautiful around this time of year. But yeah, I was working for a band called Elliot Minor out there. They were signed to Warner Brothers UK. We did a few tours and stuff, and then they were all young guys. They wanted to go on to do other things and have real families and careers and whatnot. And, I was married at the time, and the wife had just got her PhD and no longer wanted to live in the country. So, I came back from a tour and she was gone. And then I thought maybe I could withstand, you know, out there on my own, because I had a bunch of friends, I was making good money, but with the band, you know, kind of fizzling out and not knowing when the next gig was going to be, I sucked it up and I came back to the States. So I was chilling with my parents on the East Coast in Niagara Falls for a little while, and then I came back out to California, get some stuff out of storage and see some people and try and figure out what my next move was going to be. And some of my buddies up in this little town called Idlewild, in the mountains just south of, like, Coachella Valley, like southwest, they were getting together for a little jam. The bass player at the time was Mike Schnauzer, and the drummer at the time was Tim Olivier, and they had been kind of doing some garage jam stuff, and they wanted to bring a guitarist into the fold. And I was randomly ending up back in town, and our buddy Johnny was randomly back in town from whatever he was doing in Seattle. And, we all just got together to jam in the living room of, like, this two-bedroom shack. And it was just magic. I tore up my return ticket, and I was like, can I just sleep on the couch?
Whoa.
And that was it. And that was the band house. That was the Goat House for the first few years.
We should tell people that ain't so familiar with California. That's the desert, people.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go like 2 hours east of L.A., 2 hours north of San Diego, and drive up in the mountains, there's Idlewild. And then we started doing gigs down in Coachella Valley. And, it's now pretty famous for the music festival more than anything.
right. We should tell
but there's
people,
some really great bands from there.
Oh, of course. Josh Homme and Mario. Mario, actually, way early, right?
Mario Lally kind of kicked that whole thing off.
Right, and there was a club, right? Rhythm and Bruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. he kicked it all off. He's a beautiful cat. And all those cats, Josh has so much respect for him because he was kind of man alone for a while, and his brother.
Right.
And then, yeah, and all kinds of Apple Valley, all kinds of stuff. But people, okay, it's hot in the daytime, but it gets cold in the night.
Yeah. Well, and plus up in Idlewild where I'm at, right, it's like 30 degrees colder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Look, we got snow and shit.
Right. Now, this was Ontario, not so far out, but I went to the first Cal Jam, and I found somebody told me it was 100 degrees at nighttime, and I brought a T-shirt and a little blanket. I almost died. I passed out, motherfuckers put the cock sacks over me, and that probably saved my life. I woke up under a pile of dudes. Yeah, but it's 6:50.
That's a rude awakening.
Yeah, yeah, but you learn about the desert. Okay, I want know your worth. I want to... Watt for Pedro Show. Know your worth. Throw the goat. Then, well, 3Ms. I don't know how you pronounce that. Maybe it's an acronym. By IMMR. I don't know how to pronounce that either. But they're from D.C., not Chicago. Remember that. Mint Douche from London, not from Australia. Remember that. Arctic Canoe. Yeah, well, I fuck up. My memory. You know the thing about Alzheimer's, you're always hearing new bands and meeting new people. Reading new books. Scott H. Barham, brand new Highway Kind. Plutonium Farmers, Comfort Rules. Comfort Rules.
Yeah.
I love that idea. You know, Gaffa from Czech Republic with Tom. Huma from their new record, Flagellum. And then Deaths. Not Depths, but Deaths of Despair from Throw the Goat. So where's the name Throw the Goat? How did you guys come up with this?
So when we were first figuring out what we wanted to, because we booked our first gig without having a name. So the rule that we kind of came up with was that it should be three syllables for, like, optimum crowd chanting. And then at first we were kind of messing around with, like, making it an acronym of some kind. And we were all just kind of, like, sitting on the deck of the house and drinking beers and just throwing out different names and seeing what stuck. And so when I said Throw the Goat, that kind of goes back to, you know, it's the old heavy metal hand signal, the
evil eye. Oh, Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, for sure.
Which probably goes way back to Italy. Like, you put those on your balls. What my Italian friends tell me, if you say something that makes you sound self-important, you touch your balls with them because it's bad luck. Yeah, like,
right.
That's going to be an easy job. Uh-oh. The horn, you put the fingers on the balls.
Now, gotta keep them safe.
Now, you mentioned first gig. I want to hear about the first throw the goat gig.
Right. So it was at this bar that doesn't exist anymore called Bone Daddy's. And basically everybody was telling the owner, he was a friend of ours, you know, it's a small town. But everybody was trying to convince him, like, oh, you got to let this band play. Because we were just jamming at that point, and our jams had turned into mini shows. Like, half the town would show up at the house just to watch us play in the living room. So the town pretty much convinced him to book us. And we played, and then we did like a DJ thing afterwards because we didn't have enough songs to like fill up that long of a set. They wanted us to do like multiple sets and shit. We were like, so how about we play for like 30 to 45 minutes and then we'll take a break, we'll break down, and then we'll just like, I don't know, play songs off our laptops or whatever and call ourselves DJs. And yeah, by the end of the night, the only thing left at the bar was a 6-pack of Corona Light. Like, the entire place was packed. There were people on the sidewalk looking through the windows. Like, it was one of the best first gigs that you could ever want to have in your life.
That's great, man. That's great. That's great. And obviously, they never booked the Dwarves.
Right.
Right. What are those, like, 10-minute gigs?
Right. Yeah, 10-minute gigs and then set up the place on fire.
Yeah. Right. So, man, that's a great way to start off the Throw the Goat career, man.
Yeah, but it gave us all huge egos. That was the downside.
Oh, okay.
We were like, right. Oh, man.
There's going to be changes. We're going to talk about that next hour. We're at the end of the second hour, November 30, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Brian from Throw the Goat. Hold tight for hour three. November 30, 2020. It's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river and the wise rock. So say the Asian, the Hispanic, the Jew, the African, the Native American, the Sioux, the Catholic, the Muslim, the French, the Greek, the Irish, the rabbi, the priest, the sheik, the gay, the straight, the preacher, the privileged, the homeless, the teacher. They all hear the speaking of the tree. They hear the first and last of every tree speak to humankind today. Come to me, here, beside the river. Plant yourself beside the river. Each of you, descendant of some past on traveler, has been paid for. You who gave me my first name. You, Pawnee, Apache, Seneca. You, Cherokee Nation, who rested with me, then forced on bloody feet, left me to the employment of other seekers, desperate for gain, starving for gold. You, the Turk, the Arab, the Swede, the German, the Eskimo, the Scot. You, the Ashanti, the Yoruba, the crew, bought, sold, stolen, arriving on a nightmare, praying for a dream. Here, root yourselves beside me. I am that tree planted by the river which will not be moved. I the rock, I the river, I the tree, I am yours. Your passages have been paid. Lift up your faces. You have a piercing need for this bright morning dawning for you. History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived. But if faith with courage need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon this day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream. Women, children, men, take it into the palms of your hands. Mold it into the shape of your most private need. Sculpt it into the image of your most public self. Lift up your heart. Each new hour holds new chances for new beginnings. Do not be wedded forever to fear, yoked eternally to brutishness. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change. Here, on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look up and out and upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country. No less to Midas than the mendicant, no less to you now than the mastodon then. Here, on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes and into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
Why, for Spiro Show, start off third hour with Nada No Mas, Throw the Goat, Trash Crowley, Drastic Change, Bronze Age, UFO, with Maple Leaf Rage. There's that fucking paper sound again. Papier Tigre, Paper Tiger in French. Yeah, Wandering Cage, The Ghost of a Saber-Toothed Tiger, Last Call. That's Sean Lennon. He just had a B-Day, huh? No, it's coming up. That's right, because it's... I can't remember shit. Sorry, Sean. Throw the Goat with Good Morning. And people, we got now all three Throw the Goats. So Brian, you're telling me about the first gig. And now
right. You've
got this fourth album out. There's been changes since that first gig in this fourth album.
Yeah. So we started out as a four-piece, and then original rhythm guitar player dropped out. His name's Johnny Trash. He's now married and he has two beautiful children and he's a real estate agent. Tim, the original drummer, he was the next to drop out. He was having child number three. I think he's got four now. So we went on Craigslist and we got another drummer. His name was Scott. We put out, Blood, Sweat, and Beers, our second album with him, and the Vote Goat EP in 2016. And then, we had been admiring Troy for quite a while, and he was obliging and joined as our drummer. And then just a couple years ago, Mike, the original bass player, lead singer, he dropped out and moved out of state. And Troy and I figured, you know, why not keep it going? So I moved over to lead vocals, and we got Mr. Derek to come in and then play the four strings for us.
And good people. Brian's excellent been joined people. By his, yeah, excellent bandmates, Troy and Derek. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having us, man. Woohoo!
Okay, Derek, Troy, tell me about the first gig you did as Throw the Goat. Because they had a great one. The four-piece had a fucking really good first gig.
Oh, my first gig was in San Diego at this place called Till 2. And
Your first gig with Throw the Goat.
My first gig was at Till 2 in San Diego. And I booked that show. It was not only my first show with Throw the Goat, it was the first show I booked with Throw the Goat. And I was all stoked about it because I played there before, and they had, I don't know if you remember, but they had this kind of indoor-outdoor huge stage pushed into the back. And I was really pumped up about it. And then we got there, and they had this tiny little stage that they replaced the huge stage with. And I was like, oh, cool. So I guess it's not like that anymore. And it was pretty whack. Also, pretty lame. I was wasn't so proud of myself when we drove home.
It was fun.
And was the new the other new man with you?
No.
Okay. So this was still with the older guy. Okay. And oh yeah, the important question: how many kids does that guy have?
None.
Okay. Well, all you said about him was he moved out of state, so I was like, whoa.
Yeah, well, he and I kind of had a falling out, and, okay. And you know, he wasn't really down with it anymore. He had just got married, but, and then.
It was a metaphor. That's what it was for.
There you go.
So, this new album, where'd you do it at?
We did it in Troy's spare bedroom for the most part. And then we also a little bit at my place in Idlewild, and I briefly had access to a studio that no longer exists up here. We did a couple songs there, but, we were trying to get it to where we could do like writing and recording sessions, like sleepovers and get it done that way. And then this whole COVID thing happened and kind of threw a wrench in that. So we did it kind of through emails and then just getting together one at a time and piecing it together, and it turned out all right.
So first,
then our first session back was in the garage up here too.
Yeah, up in Yucca Valley.
So it was done in chunks, and then you started trading files.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, look, you got to be flexible with the sitch, you know, and roll with it, right? I think Muhammad Ali called it rope-a-dope, right? You bounce off the rope.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's instead of sitting on your hands and crying out loud.
Yeah, that.
So what about when it came to mixing it? Or was there like a kind of – it was self-produced, right? Or did you bring in a producer, man?
No. Did it all ourselves. I think this is like the 9th, 10th album that I've produced so far for, you know, various bands and stuff. So, you know, and it's just utilizing those same skills that, that Angel Abyss had learned back in the day and using the same program, but just the newest version of it.
That's why I try to tell people whenever you play, you never waste some time because you're always investing in the next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I want to play four on the floor.
America, bless God and thy
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Our presentation will begin shortly. Terrestrial perceive no triangle containeth two obtuse.
Thank you.
Little reality never hurt, right? People, last music for this edition, Four on the Floor from Throw the Goat, Dissolving the Contradiction from High Maya, Consolium Hyacinthia from Jerome Park Wells. I guess that's the name of Flower. He's a great bass man out of St. Louis. Music with My Insane Friend with Zero and Don't Believe from Throw the Goat, finally. What is the songwriting process with Throw the Goat?
So this time around, like Hot Truck Whiskey, we kind of all did together. That was the only one that we all equally put our thing into. The first song, People Like You, that was the last song that we wrote musically with Mike before we quit. So we kind of, you know, just redid it, new words. But then everything else was like, it was basically just riffs that I've had, either videos on my phone or stuff that I've recorded that's just been, you know, laying in a folder on my computer or, you know, on my phone, and kind of turning those into demos and then sending them to the guys and going, is this cool? Is this not? Should we do it? And then all of us putting our collective stank on it.
You know, that
collective stank.
Collective stank.
That video thing is interesting because you can actually see where somebody's making a fucking bunch of noise there, man. Watch out. You can actually see.
So I had to go grab some headphones because my stuff just started messing up. So I should be back to making less noise in just a moment.
What I was trying to say, this video thing, Mr. Shimmy turned me on to this. I was thinking, why would somebody give you a movie? But you can see where the hands are on the fucking neck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really a great idea. Yeah, the files are fucking bigger. But you can see where the guy's got his hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That can help buttloads when you're trying to figure shit out.
Dude. Yeah, especially, like, old riffs and everything, trying to go through and, like, how the hell... Was I in E Standard when I fucking recorded this?
Right.
That's another thing, too. Puke and I are tuned differently, so that puts a whole other fun thing we get to work with on.
You're tuned different.
I like to tune down a whole step, and so it gives me an extra D sometimes.
Okay, so the strings are looser.
Yeah.
And then Brian likes them a little tighter.
Right.
Yeah, when me and D-Boom are boys, we couldn't relate that to pitch. We thought if you played down on the corner and it sounded right, you were in tune. We didn't know you had to have the same down on the corner as the other dude. We thought some dudes like tight strings, some like them loose.
Yeah,
it must.
Derek also wears his bass down like by his kneecaps.
Well, that's even more important. It's where you wear the bass. It's not what you play.
I didn't ever mean to, and then I just kept finding like a slightly longer strap and getting more and more comfortable until finally you got a really long strap. I was like, wow, not bad.
They got some of those are kind of rubber bandy, so they even like stretchy. Look, where can people find you on the internet?
So they can find us at our official website at throwthegoat.net. We also have, if you go to votegoat2020.com, that'll take you to the same spot. We've also got everything up on Bandcamp. That's throwthegoat.bandcamp.com. And when in doubt, just Google Throw the Goat and we'll pop up.
Yeah, or any other certain, Ian McKay would say any search engine.
Exactly.
Because we don't want
to. Because everybody uses
that. That's why I don't use the P word to call my show. They don't even make that device anymore. Why be a fucking shill?
Right.
Look,
there you go.
It's beautiful having you guys on. When you make your next, you're planning your next record, right?
Yeah. We actually held back some songs from this last one that we got going on. And then there's some other jams and stuff. So I'm really looking forward. I know that we all are looking forward to.
Can you come back on the show and then I can get to know Derek and Troy more?
Fucking A, absolutely.
Okay. I would really like that.
Okay, thanks so much, Brian. Throw the Goat. Keep on keeping on, brothers.
People, you too, brother.
Okay. Yeah. It's been the November 30, 2020 edition of Wap for Pedro. She'll keep your powder dry.